Speaking of checkbook journalism, let's turn back to May, when Gawker Media launched their subtly named Crackstarter project. Through Crackstarter, Gawker was trying to raise $200,000 to purchase, from the drug dealers who taped it, a video of Toronto Mayor Rob Ford smoking crack cocaine. A second tape of Ford ranting emerged this week, but that's another story. Anyway, the deal to buy it fell through, but a Gawker editor viewed it and posted about it, and in so doing, gave an opening to the Toronto Star. Having reported on Ford's antics for the past decade, the Star had suffered legal blowback. So even though Star staffers had seen the same video as Gawker, lacking the physical evidence, it was reluctant to run with the story. Gawker's Crackstarter stunt and post impelled the Star to go to print. Here's Ford last May, when news of the video, but no image of the video itself, was published.
"That I have been judged by the media without any evidence."
Last week, Toronto police confirmed it had the video. So here's Ford on Tuesday.
"Do you smoke crack cocaine?"
"Yes, I have smoked crack cocaine. Probably in one of my drunken stupors, probably approximately about a year ago."
So that was settled, but a little media dust-up followed when the Toronto Star characterized its Ford story, including the part about the video, as an exclusive. Last weekend, Gawker's feature editor Tom Skoka fired off a series of seething emails to Star publisher John Cruikshank. Skoka wrote, quote, "From day one, your paper selfishly, gutlessly, and above all, stupidly, tried to cover up the fact that Gawker had already reported the existence of the video." We got together, Skoka and Cruikshank, as reps from media old and new, for a kumbaya moment. First, John Cruikshank of the Toronto Star.
"In retrospect, we shouldn't have put Star exclusive. And I apologize for doing that. Just as I didn't in a recent column where I was reflecting on the 5.5 months of incredible abuse that we've taken at the hands of the mayor, his brother, and all of what they call Ford Nation here, I didn't acknowledge that Gawker had published news of the video first, and that that had been incredibly helpful to us."
Part of what rubbed us the wrong way about John's account about the Star's lone heroism was that the only thing that changed from the Star's point of view between the moment when they were sitting on this fact and they didn't feel journalistically and ethically ready to publish a story and their publication of a story was that we published a story. Nothing else magically happened in that span of hours. And I think that that is what has been in this case a healthy symbiosis between old and new media, using their different strengths to achieve different goals.
"There is a real difference. We looked at ways of trying to get the video made public. The folks that we were dealing with and we were raising money for are involved in drug smuggling and gun smuggling. And we came to the conclusion that those were not people we could be seen in our community to be giving money to."
You wrote in an email to Tom, "We had real skin in the game, as well as a large number of feet on the street. You broke a great story from a foreign country for which you bore no potential accountability should it have proven to be untrue. Nice to be you in such circumstances."
"We were sued by Rob Ford during the mayoralty election, and we've been fighting that suit ever since. We've been banned from the mayor's office. He refuses to communicate with us. He's urged people to cancel the subscriptions, to cancel their ads. Gawker sits in a foreign jurisdiction without significant assets in Toronto. So there's nothing that could be seized in the case of a successful legal action. And also, if there were to be a legal action undertaken in New York, it would be under American legal conditions, which provide far greater latitude than Canadian law to report on public figures."
We caught no small amount of grief from people who were upset at the idea of our giving money to drug dealers. But we—
And gun runners.
And gun runners.
Yeah.
But money is fungible.
So, you know, well,
we weren't buying crack.
So, what about this other point that Gawker made, which we've heard Glenn Greenwald make a similar point about traditional media, this tendency to sit on a story because you're not willing to take the risk and serve the public by getting it out there? I mean, assuming you know that it's true.
Look, in this particular case, it's required a tremendous amount of reporting. The reality is, this guy is so Teflon. Had we not kept up the kind of pounding and the work that we did, this would have gone away.
The video would have gone away.
The video problem would have gone away. And I think, I mean, look, the man is still in office today.
The man announced that he's running for re-election. It's amazing.
He'll try not to have any more drunken stupors in which he smokes crack. That's what he's promised the people. So it's deeply frustrating in that respect. But, the information that came out confirming the existence of the tape mm-hmm. was the product of months in court getting this information out. Again, the legal system here in Canada works very, very differently and phenomenally more slowly than the American system.
One of the more incredible things from where we were sitting was the Globe and Mail rolled out this immense, deeply reported story about the sordid, drug-connected past of the entire Ford family. Clearly, this was something that they had been reporting on for a long time and just hadn't gotten around to publishing.
Well, you see, this is another point about the symbiosis of old and new media with different constraints and ethical concerns, because if you don't feel you can publish a story, you can almost always publish a story about a story. So did Gawker give the Star, and to maybe even a greater extent, the Globe and Mail, some kind of cover for the reporting that they did?
Gawker tremendously speeded up the process by dropping their story as quickly as they did. I think, in fact, cover for the Globe came from the Star reporting.
Right.
Nevertheless, I was as slack-jawed as Tom must have been when it fell from the heavens.
The fact that his brother, who is a politician actively in Toronto, was a hashish dealer, that was just sitting there and nobody had reported it, is nuts. It wasn't you guys who were sitting on that particular fact, but my goodness, there's something is very, very wrong with somebody's culture of responsible news reporting.
So now you're dissing Canada.
I think the constraints that John is talking about, at some point, if you're too much in love with your ethos of responsibility, you end up with press councils second-guessing your work and with politicians suing you.
It really is a different country. We are fighting for free speech, but it's in the context of a society that does think differently from your typical American social setting. And that reflects the way people think and are. So, yes, we're pushing always. I'm always looking for ways of importing American standards of fervor around free speech. But I do it in the context of a Canadian audience. And I realize that I can lose the reputation I have for trustworthiness if I push too far, because it's not a New York audience.
And yet you have this guy who's your mayor.
No, exactly.
As an armchair observer of Canadian politics and culture over the last few months, it seems to me that there's probably a connection between this inclination toward right thinking and good behavior and the fact that this monstrous thug of a bully was able to seize power and ride roughshod over everybody. You know, in the land of the passive aggressive, the truly aggressive is king.
Look, I think Rob Ford looks a whole lot more like a Tea Partier than he does like, an old-fashioned Canadian conservative. I wrote today about the difficulty of journalists in Canada dealing with propaganda instead of political speech. Do we have all the tools we need?
Wow. Thank you guys, both of you, so much.
With pleasure.
Yeah.
Tom Skoka is features editor at Gawker. John Cruikshank is the publisher of the Toronto Star.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.